Now there is a new thing. Plastic surgeons call it Snapchat dysmorphia. People asking for cosmetic surgery to look more like they do after they use technology to change their looks for their selfies. It's the modern-day version of airbrushing, which stars have always had access to. But now mere mortals are getting addicted to these enhanced versions of themselves. They want the big doe eyes, the freckleless skin they can get through filters. Take Lucy O'Grady. Last year on the British TV program This Morning on ITV, she said she'd spoken to someone online once and then met them in person, and they told her she looked really different from her selfies. It got her thinking.
Are people disappointed when they meet me in real life? Am I actually, you know, not attractive without the editing? On the editing apps, I used to blur away wrinkles. My way to look the same in real life was to have Botox to get rid of forehead wrinkles and crow's feet around the eyes. And then that led to other procedures as well. I wanted to have fillers. I had my teeth whitened.
Well, Lucy O'Grady said she later realized she was chasing something that wasn't real and decided to take a break from social media. The Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, is calling this a disorder, Snapchat dysmorphia. And they say the solution isn't always surgery. It could be a psychiatric intervention. Dr. Matthew Schulman is a plastic surgeon in private practice in New York. Dr. Schulman, Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
So start with the phrase Snapchat dysmorphia. It's a new version of body dysmorphia disorder, which has been around for a while. Explain what that is.
So body dysmorphia disorder is a recognized mental health condition where people become obsessed about a perceived imperfection of their body. The key with BDD or body dysmorphia disorder is that that imperfection is usually only seen by the person and it doesn't really become obvious to other people. So we're talking about someone who looks pretty good and is obsessed because they think that there's something wrong with them that other people can't see.
There are a lot of ethical questions there, I'm sure, when you go along with them wanting to change something that is really imperceptible.
Absolutely. I mean, as a plastic surgeon, we are trained, obviously, in surgery, but we also have a lot of training in recognizing people with BDD. These are the exact patients we don't want because nothing that we can do surgically is going to make them feel better about that body part because there's really nothing wrong with the body part. So we're very in tune with BDD and try to pick up on signs that a person may have this disorder when we first meet them in consultation.
Okay. And so are you seeing patients come in, truly seeing people come in who are seeing themselves in these filtered, enhanced selfies and really wanting to look more like that, looking at their faces and saying it's not enough?
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind is, you know, social media is here. This is what everything's about in 2018. So the filters that are available on social media, such as Snapchat and Instagram, give people a really easy way to change the way they look. And we're not talking about someone coming in with a silly, you know, rabbit filter where they look like a rabbit and saying, make me look like a rabbit. We're talking about people that are using these filters that make their skin look smoother or make their nose look a little smaller or make their eyes look wider. That's the thing that people are bringing into us to kind of show us what they want to look like, which on the surface is really not unhealthy, right? It's just a way for someone to illustrate to the surgeon what their expectations are. So to some extent, it's actually a good thing and we like it. It's when people take it a little too far and they fail to recognize what they actually look like because they think that the filtered appearance is their real appearance.
Right, right. So the American Academy of Facial and Plastic Reconstructive Surgeons says 55% of facial plastic surgeons in 2017, over half, saw patients who wanted surgery to make them look more like their selfies. So what do you say to them? Can you make eyes like those big doe eyes? I mean, we know you can pull up lids a little bit, but can you make an eye as big as a filter can?
You know, when people come in with those filters, if someone comes in, they really want to look like a deer or a rabbit or a dog with their tongue hanging out. Clearly, that's a problem. But there are ways that we can kind of give the changes that they may like, such as a little bit of Botox around the eyes can make the eyes look a little wider. If they bring a filter where their nose looks smaller, that may be a patient that is a good candidate for a rhinoplasty procedure. They're using that filter to show us what their ideal nose would look like. So it's kind of a slippery slope. It can be very dangerous, but there can be some positives if it's used the right way.
Well,
because one thing to keep in mind too is if you think back to years ago, in order for people to change their appearance in a picture, they had to be very skilled. They had to use things like Photoshop and some softwares that you really had to know what you're doing. With Snapchat and Instagram, with one swipe, the average person can just morph their face into something different. So it's so easy for people to change their picture. That's probably why we're seeing so many people using these as examples to the plastic surgeon.
Well, but then what do you do about JAMA's recommendation that, in fact, in the cases of somebody who's blurring a line of reality and fantasy, they've become so attached to their Snapchat image that they're not accepting their own image anymore? I mean, there was one young woman so worried about her boyfriend seeing her in person after she sent him enhanced selfies all day that she was looking for surgery.
So that's the extreme that we're trying to avoid. And, you know, as plastic surgeons, this is really kind of nothing new to us, because these are the things like I was talking about at the beginning about body dysmorphia disorder that we're aware of and we look for signs of it. People that come in and exhibit unrealistic expectations or signs of a true dysmorphia, those are people that we clearly won't operate on. And those are people that should be referred for psychiatric evaluation to help them, as opposed to having a surgical procedure done by us. So I think you're absolutely right. Those are the things that we should look out for. And in the plastic surgery community, this has been around for, you know, 40, 50 years. We've known about it. It's just now that you kind of add the social media aspect to it and the Snapchat dysmorphia term, the public might be becoming more aware of this.
Well, and so there's something that might be a psychological problem, as Jam was pointing out, and might need therapy and serotonin uptake medication so that people feel better about themselves. I mean, this is what they're recommending, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy and medication.
Absolutely. It's a recognized psychiatric disorder. But, you know, obviously, I just want to be clear that not everyone that wants to change things about themselves has dysmorphia.
Right.
But
I mean,
clearly, we need to define those people so that we can get them the help they need. And also, we don't operate on them because it's not going to make them feel better about themselves.
Is one part of that, there's a woman who's quoted saying that, you know, she had lip injections and some dermal fillers. I guess that's where you inject stuff. And she said, it's my face, it's my money. That's an adult. Is one of the issues you take up, since this is so much social media, when young people come in, they want to change their face because of social media and Snapchat, and they haven't even grown into their face yet.
Those are the people we're really talking about. We have to be very concerned. And as a plastic surgeon, I don't operate on young people. Now, there are people that do rhinoplasties and, you know, nose jobs are commonly done on young people, but there is an age limit. Usually people wait till the child is about 16 years old, so their nose has grown into their face, and we know that physically there's no more changes. And in that situation, the teenager would need to have parental permission. So there is kind of established guidelines for that. Mm-hmm. But no, if someone comes in who's 17 years old and she says, you know, I want my eyes to look wider and I want my lips to be plumper, nobody's going to do anything on that person, nor should they.
Because they're too young. Ethical doctors, anyway. But have you said to a patient, a young person who's come in with their Snapchats and said, I want to look like this? And sometimes, I mean, it's not just that the eyes are big, it's that the face tapers down, the body, everything kind of tapers down and slims down. Have you ever said to somebody, I think you actually need help?
We say it all the time. I mean, you know, it's really important to select our patients appropriately based on the physical characteristics and also the psychological characteristics of each patient. So, you know, about 25% of the people that come to me for any type of surgery, I turn down because either I don't think psychologically they're quite right for the procedure or physically they're not quite right. So it's very common to send people away and say that you need help and it's not help from a surgeon and, you know, refer those people back to their primary doctor for a psychiatric consultation.
Dr. Matthew Shulman, board-certified plastic surgeon. He practices in New York, and he's speaking to us about the new phrase, Snapchat body dysmorphia. Dr. Shulman, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.